Hello there, and welcome to Soul Sisters with me, Claire Solon.
And me, Georgie Crawford.
This is the bonus episode of Soul Sisters this week. Welcome. And this, of course, is the podcast that guarantees you plenty of aha moments and healthy, nourished skin. And that's with thanks to our brand new partners, Sanex. We've been loving the Sanex Skin Therapy Shower Gel lately because it comes in three different options, depending on what your skin needs. Like anti-itchiness and anti-irritation. Designed for itchy skin, it contains omega-3 and reduces irritation in just 3 days. This is the one that's on rotation in my shower at the moment. Anti-dryness, designed for dry skin and contains hyaluronic acid, known for its moisturising power. And smooth skin texture, suitable for combination to oily skin. This contains niacinamide and that helps reduce imperfections.
So whichever skin therapy shower gel you choose, you're in great hands as it's developed with dermatologists and its patented amino acid complex preserves your skin's barrier, helps support your skin's natural defense and delivers a 24-hour hydration feel because we are all about protecting our skin health in 2026.
Hallelujah, Soul Sisters.
So Claire, we've decided to jump into, I suppose, a topic that it's probably been discussed at every water cooler across the UK and Ireland over the past week. We've seen Joanne McNally get out of the Traders and straight into this story. Louisa Zisman is over in Dubai actively looking for Lee Andrews. And we just wanted to talk about this in terms of, I suppose, how women can be love bombed and often not be able to see the wood from the trees when it comes to falling in love.
I must say, Katie Price is on my radar all the time. I wouldn't always click the stories. I'm on that Daily Mail at least once a day, and I would usually scroll by her stories. But I must say, this has made me just because, as you say, that line is massive on social media at the moment. But where is Katie Price's husband?
Yeah, so, and I think Katie Price has been so good at keeping herself relevant, you know, for her entire life. And she is so relevant right now. Now, the latest, it's Thursday today, the latest is Katie is sharing memes to her Instagram saying she's focusing on herself and her own journey and her own growth. So it seems like she has turned a corner. And I was saying to you before we pressed record that Katie Price to me has always been someone who appears quite vulnerable, yet underneath it all has this strength and absolutely adores her children. And I think she would put them above anybody else.
I was looking at the timeline. I agree with that, obviously. The timeline, I think she just broke up with that guy, JJ, I think at the end of last year, right? And then met Lee in January, and then things just snowballed. And like you say, she's really committed to her family and, you know, she's such a survivor, is Katie Price. Such a survivor. But I must say, I suppose all of us can be massively love bombed at times. And that certainly is how this started anyway.
A little bit of background on their relationship. So Katie split from her boyfriend, JJ Slater, who by all accounts seemed like a really nice guy. Her family loved him. He was on Married at First Sight UK. And then all of a sudden, the relationship was over. And within a couple of weeks, if not days, she had met Lee Andrews. Now, Lee Andrews is an Englishman, but he lives in Dubai and presents himself as this millionaire who mixes with the likes of Elon Musk, Kim Kardashian, is showing pictures of himself on private jets, in gyms. And now, as people are paying more attention to these photos, it seems like a lot of them are AI generated. So, for example, this week, Louisa Zisman uploaded a picture of Chris Hemsworth taken in December 2025 in a gym. And it appears that Lee just photoshopped his head onto Chris Hemsworth's body because it is the exact same photo, the exact same background, in the exact same pose. So people, I suppose, you know, like how quickly we now are able to spot AI images when we actually just pay more attention than glancing at something for 1 to 3 seconds. So all of these, you know, even the photo of him sitting on the private jet, like it's so obviously fake. But obviously when Katie saw his profile, they met online, she was so impressed by his lifestyle. She jetted over to Dubai. They met, got engaged and married within a week. Katie described it as love at first sight. But it was only when she posted the photo of their engagement, which seemed to be in this kind of spa with roses everywhere. They're both in robes. She looked so happy that she realized that he had proposed to his ex in the exact same way, with the exact same roses, the exact same ring, the exact same robes, just a couple of months beforehand. And I suppose that's when everything started to fall down around her.
And I suppose that's when people started stepping out of the woodwork to take more than just a passing interest in what she was doing. I mean, a lot of people could have written it off as, oh, here we go, another, you know, rebound romance from Katie Price. But actually, then, as you said, the focus started to be on him. He said things like, he had a PhD from Cambridge. I think for a while he was Dr. Wesley on Instagram. He said he was on the Labour Party advisory board, which I heard was completely phony. He says he has an energy company also that he's the CEO of. And he also said he was heavily involved with the royals. So he was involved with the Prince's Trust. So there was no, this guy has such an aspirational mindset that he has just inserted himself into every conceivable stature. And he really now, I suppose, what he didn't foresee is the huge public interest in him when he got involved with Katie Price.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, fame has always been his number, fame, money, you know, the lifestyle. So I presume when Katie Price came along, he could only see dollar signs. Now, his ex is called Alana Percival, and she was very outspoken. And it seems, you know, she released a podcast. She was on a podcast yesterday, and it seems like she's had quite a traumatic experience with him. And so she was speaking out in order to warn Katie. And there is nothing like women at home on Instagram or TikTok or whatever to rally. And literally, the internet did its work and started to expose Lee and try to get the message through to Katie. Now, I think the really sad thing is that, you know, in various interviews that Katie has done, like she shares her whole life. So she's constantly on camera. You can kind of see the penny drop at various points. And she's her brain, it's almost like she's trying to catch up with what's going on, but it's like she just doesn't want to believe it.
I think what she was most let down about lately was she was due to be on GMB with Lee. And he had, you know, he seems to do this. So he's been on a travel ban for a long time because he has been arrested in the past. He's been in prison in the past. And so he is not allowed to travel by all accounts, allegedly. So, and we know this because anybody who's spoken about being in a relationship with him has talked about the promise that he will come and visit them where they are and then sends a selfie or gets on FaceTime from an airport, but never leaves the country. And what he was supposed to do in the last couple of weeks was appear on Good Morning Britain with Katie. He says, of course, at the 11th hour that he can't do that. He tells Katie, she rings GMB and says, do you still want me? And GMB said, yeah, look, we'll still take you, but we can't put him on Zoom. That's not possible. in the meantime, they've been onto the Foreign Office and done their due diligence and, you know, done the background check on this guy. And now more and more evidence is coming to light. And I think this is probably what sent him underground.
Yeah, I think the travel ban was the thing that made people really sketchy, because he kept denying that he had it. Like, even if he had it said, yeah, I do have a travel ban, like there's so many people in Dubai with travel bans. If he had just said, yeah, there's an ongoing, you know, court issue. It's like his blatant lies time and time again. Now, as a producer, and this Good Morning Britain interview, Claire, was last week, the 12th of May. And he had, you know, really told her that he was coming. And she's like, I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to prove that he's, you know, he can leave Dubai. He's going to be sitting. She really believed that he was going to be there. And then he sent her a message and said, look, I can't get, you know, I have too much work to do. I'll come tomorrow. As if he would have missed his primetime slot on TV. But as a producer, you know, I think it's really interesting that they said they wouldn't put him on Zoom.
Yeah.
Into the interview. What would you have done?
I think I would have put him on, to be honest. And maybe the only reason I wouldn't have is because there are legal implications around his activities that would forbid a television program from profiling or putting somebody like him on air.
Okay, right. I understand.
Because as you say, it would be definitely in their interest in terms of virality, you know, getting profile for their interview to put him on.
Mm. So he basically said to Katie that he was going to come later that day. He said he was in Oman Airport, but it was quickly called out because he filmed a video of himself saying he was in this airport. And then everyone who has been in Dubai Airport was like, that is the roof of Dubai Airport. Like, you are not where you say you are. And then overnight, in between the 12th and 13th of May, all of a sudden, Lee Andrews goes missing. Mm-hmm. So this is when the story just takes such a crazy turn. Katie said that Lee had contacted her from the Dubai border and said that he had been detained, but then he just disappeared off the face of the planet. So only in the last couple of days has she revealed more of their last conversations with each other. And she shared a screenshot of text messages where he had said that he was detained near the Dubai border. He said he's been arrested, he's in a van, and that the people who had detained him were coming back for him. He showed her his hands and they appeared to be tied up, not handcuffed, like tied up, and he had a hood partially covering his head. And Katie said that from what she could see in the background is that he was in the back of a dirty van. So I suppose from Katie's point of view, quite quickly she was like, well, he's not in the back of a police car. It appears he may have been kidnapped. And I think on Tuesday's episode, your exact words, Claire, were, who'd want to kidnap him?
So having done a little bit more research into what he's been accused of, he has done things like signed fraudulent checks, allegedly. He has sold fake Rolexes and jewellery to people. So it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility that this man was arrested or kidnapped by people he owed money to.
Yeah.
Or people he had double crossed.
So I guess the big question is, like, actually, where is he? Is this a stunt on his behalf? Like, is he in his dad's attic? Or is he actually arrested? Is he actually kidnapped? Louisa Zisman, who is a UK TV personality, said he was active on social media. And then Katie Price said that was actually her on his Facebook, but then she deleted that. And I would say that's because people, you know, advised her not to say she has access to appear as him on his behalf, because then he could blame her, right, on potential fraud or things that he was up to.
Yes.
So that message was really quickly deleted. But as we said at the start, like, it seems like she's turned a corner now, and it seems like, I can imagine that as quickly as she got into something, Katie Price can do a U-turn and get the hell out of there. The only problem is she's now married to this man.
Yeah. And I suppose that's the next questions you need to be asking. Like, is the marriage legally binding? You know, she talked about the police involvement and Interpol on the latest episode of her podcast. So, you know, the problem is, you see, I suppose maybe what Lee hasn't thought about is if he becomes a missing person and the authorities get involved in trying to trace him and find him, then as soon as they find him, they will have cause and reason to look into what it is that made him disappear in the first place.
Yes.
He may well have dug his own grave. I think if you're interested in this story, it is worth listening to that podcast we talked about earlier on with Alana Percival. Because in that, Alana was very honest about her relationship with Lee. It followed many of the same patterns as he and Katie have. And she talks really fondly about his father, who seems to be out in Dubai as well. He allegedly told her that his father was very ill and dying. He very much seemed to be leaning on his father in terms of his father was lying for him, apparently. And Alana did say she had a conversation with his dad at the end of the relationship and said to the dad, look, if I was your daughter, what would you recommend I do in this situation? And apparently, Lee's father said, go, get as far away from this situation as possible. And I suppose, that, you know, when you think about it this way, I hope Katie will listen to those around her. And, you know, she has such a loyal following online. I think the people who are affected most are the people who are in these people's inner circle, because not only do they hope against hope each time that the lies will stop, but they become victim then because they get pulled into the dishonesty.
Do you know one thing that I'm seriously impressed by is the level of compassion for Katie Price? And I say that in terms of, I think our understanding in the year 2026 of this happening to people. And obviously, for so many years, there was so much victim blaming involved. And you see some serious kind of mental health crisis around stories like this by the people themselves who have been tricked. And I think it seems, you know, from the outside looking in, that the people in the UK have Katie's back and are not blaming her in all of this. But something interesting, you know, on the Alana Percival podcast that was out yesterday, she's on a podcast called Something Block Avoid, and it's on Spotify only.
Block, Delete, Move On with Lala.
Yes, so that's on Spotify only if you're looking for it. But she said that basically she went out to this cafe in Dubai and tagged the cafe or the brunch spot or wherever she was with a pal. Then she gets a DM from him to say, hey, I can't believe we're in the same place. You know, we should hook up or whatever. And she wrote back something flirty like, oh, well, if I had a seen you, I wouldn't have let you out of my sight. And all of a sudden, you know, they're going on dates. You know, the typical thing we see maybe about love bombing and manipulative men is that she then finds herself kind of, as the months go on, becoming more isolated from her friends who are saying, like, we don't really like this guy, but she's mad about him. And so what she does is she pulls away from her friends to spend more time with him. Now, she said that he told her he had a huge house, a mansion on the Palm, which for anyone who doesn't know anything about Dubai, it's like millionaire, billionaire row, right? All of these mansions on this kind of man-made island that looks like a palm tree in Dubai, right? So he had told her, I own a house there, but you have to prove yourself to me first. I have to fully trust you before I let you into my billionaire lifestyle. So let's meet at my dad's house. Let's meet at this cafe. Let's rent hotel rooms when we want to spend the night together. So she never got to that house in the Palm. He then said the reason that he was still in his dad's house is because his dad was ill and he wanted to take care of him. But as I was listening to the story, you know, if you had a mansion on the Palm in Dubai and your father was terminally ill, would you not bring him there to rest and recover?
Of course. Yeah. I thought what was very interesting also, and it was a good catch for anybody listening to this who does feel that, does have question marks over whether or not a relationship is legitimate, if somebody is legitimate. What I noticed Alana talking about a lot was his ability to mirror. And I can tell you, as a single woman, the moments I get most excited about, you know, and this is universal, is when you get talking to somebody and they say they're into the same things. You know, the strange little isms that you have. Suddenly somebody says, me too. And you start to go, oh my God, this is destiny. This is me meeting my soulmate. You know, and you can very quickly get caught up in these little moments that are actually constructs, that aren't real.
Whoa. So instead of a man saying, you know, and you're saying, I love going to India and I'm on a spiritual journey and I love meditation, instead of them saying, oh, I'd love to learn more about that, like, tell me, they say, oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. Oh, I always go to India. I meditate every day. So you're then, see what that does then is that starts to, release the oxytocin in your brain where you're imagining both of you sitting in lotus position every morning at 5:30, sipping a cup of chamomile tea. You know, you start to build the life you've always wanted. Your dreams start to, your imagination comes to life. And
little do you know that when you do get married, the last thing you want to do is be getting up at 5:30 and seeing your fella for more hours of the day.
Thank you very much for that reality check. Yes.
But have you ever been catfished or found yourself in a similar situation?
I don't think I have, but I have definitely fallen victim to, and I think again with the dawn of the apps, I have been sucked in to conversations and first dates. I can remember one guy I was seeing over here in London, and it sticks in my mind because it was just before the pandemic happened. So it was kind of like December 19, January 20, February 20. And I met this guy, and it was interesting because he said something like he'd been on 80 dates, you know, within the last year or something. And then, you know, we started to really get on and we started kind of seeing each other. And I remember people saying to me, including my mum, that's a lot of dating. That's a lot of people. And I was thinking to myself, oh no, he's just treating it like a job. He's being quite efficient in it. He meets them once, he realizes they're not for him and he moves on. But I suppose only because I was starting to build a story with this guy. I wanted this to be something. So I just thought, well, these are the many steps he's taken to find me. When actually this guy was a serial dater. Oh. And when he came into my orbit, he would come in and he would, and I always remember Dennis, my coach, saying to this, Claire, be cautious of people who come in like a flood because they retreat and leave disease.
Oh my God.
And this man came in like a flood. Like he was in. And then when I would step forward to meet him, he would retreat. And it went on like this, like a dance, until eventually I had to just say to him, listen, what's going on? And then we went our separate ways.
So did you meet him in real life?
Yeah, I met him a couple of times. I was working in the BBC okay. at the time. So I used to either meet him before work or after work around town. And it was so nice to begin with. But again, I can remember distinctly running away with it. I was in a very needy place. So in 2019, what was I? I was 40 in 21. So I was in my late 30s. So my physiology at that point was really ringing in my ears. It was like, let's get settled down. You know, my body was saying, let's have a baby. There was an awful lot of mixed messages going on with me. And I really was feeling, I hadn't had a relationship really since 2016, 2017. I was with somebody for a while. So I wanted this to work so much. And yes. This man, he again mirrored me for a while and made me believe he also wanted what I wanted, but actually he just wanted something really casual.
Wow. Because I was looking up like the latest on the Tinder swindler and he served like 5 months of a 15-month sentence for fraud, but he's never really been like caught or nailed down with anything. And I wonder if that's the same now with Lee Andrews, because his ex, Alana, had said, like, he's got no fixed abode. And I think when someone is a kind of nomad, it's harder to pin them down or figure out what way is up, if you know what I mean. So, like, obviously, we're looking at this from the outside in. Like, what's your theory? Where do you think he is?
Oh, I absolutely think he's in a bolt hole somewhere in the Middle East.
So what's a bolt hole?
So like he's got himself, you know, whether it's a friend or another woman or something, he's hiding out okay. somewhere. You know, he definitely has a home or a halfway house somewhere and he's hiding out.
So you don't think he's been taken?
Not for a single second.
Oh, I'm so gullible.
Do you think? You think he has been?
I just believed that he was, you know?
I knew, I think after listening to that podcast and his ex-girlfriend giving all of the examples of the moments where he just, you know, was living a complete life of fantasy. This man is starring in his own movie at the moment. He's like the Jason Statham of the Lee Andrews story. And not to insult Mr. Statham at all, but, you know, that's who he reminds me of when I look at him. I believe that he is on the run. And actually what Alana Percival did say in that many times in that podcast, he is a professional. Like he is a scammer and he's doing this time and time again. So he is on the internet buying qualifications. He is on the internet, on the dark web, you know, finding ways to live a life that isn't legit. So I do believe there is somebody else he has probably met now in the Middle East that he's probably hiding out with.
Whoa.
Another thing that Alana said in the podcast was he's telling so many lies to such a degree that he believes them himself. And I've always gotten that feeling when I've seen, you know, even Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can, the level, yeah. the degree to which they create a reality for themselves, it starts with them. You know, they rehearse, and then they go out and they're salesmen at the end of the day. They're selling a story, they're selling a dream, they're selling a romance. I think, look, it's the one thing I'll say that was sad to see Katie Price marry him after a week, because
yeah.
we've all been with her through so many ups and downs, so many public relationships and so many fallouts, that you think the one thing you wouldn't do is commit to somebody so quickly.
especially because she's probably just been so used time and time again. Did you follow the GAA catfish story?
I did. It's prompted by you. Yeah.
Like that again is a web of lies and entitlement.
There was also...
And poor Johnny B, like showing up for the fry and then for on the Saturday morning, like, you know, just sitting there, like how awful would you feel after that? Like, you know, showing up with your with an open heart, sitting down, talking to people and actually just feeling like he must have felt like a fool after that.
Oh, for sure. It's embarrassing. There's no doubt about it, because when we talk about Love is Blind and blinkers, when romance comes, it just, you know, I would love to know more about the science of this stuff, because all of the people around you who you know and love and you would seek counsel from on anything in your life, you completely push away, you ignore, and you go forth towards this thing that you have no certainty in.
It just shows that like lust,
yes,
is such a real thing.
Yes. Yes. And actually, you've hit the nail on the head there now, because that's what these people do, I think, fundamentally. They sell a dream. So, you know, if you think about Instagram, and a lot of the darker side of Instagram for us is the compare and despair. You look and you think, wow, if I could only look like those people, if I could only live the life those people are, you know, if my house was that clean, if my clothes were that good, if my kids were that, you know, well behaved. But so what they're doing is they're selling something like a perfection piece. And for the Johnny B and for Alana, you know, the AI face changing apps that these people use, the fake pictures, is what, because what it does is it massively hits you and you think, oh my God, what an ego trip. This beautiful girl or guy wants me. And you start to see yourself in a whole different light.
Even that photo of him, I don't know if you've seen it, because he's back on Instagram now. His page disappeared for a while. But he has a picture of him posing outside Harrods with like the baseball cap, and he's looking down all moody. But it, actually, if you scroll in on the back, the people's faces aren't real in the background. They're just blobs.
Oh my God. Thoughts and prayers for KP, you know?
Yeah, I think she, you know, has a good crew around her, and hopefully will look, of course she's going to bounce back from this.
Of course she is.
I mean, what are we even questioning? Of course she is. She's going to make a documentary. This is going to be, you know, she's going to dive into this world now of people getting scammed, and hopefully will help loads of people not get scammed.
Well, that's a great idea. That's exactly what should be happening from this. Yeah.
We'll produce the show, Katie.
Happily. Happy to produce that, Katie Price.
So it'll be interesting to see where this goes when Leandrew reappears, if ever.
If you are interested, actually, there's a really good, there was a very popular podcast along the lines of kind of this, like catfishing, Sweet Bobby. Did you ever listen to that?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a really good listen if this kind of has piqued your interest. And yeah, the other, as I'll just mention again, hosted by Lala, Let Me Explain, Block, Delete, Move On, will give you Alana Percival telling her story about Leandrew's.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. And I'm sure we'll be picking up this story on the main episode next week. If you missed the main this week, we were talking a little bit about this story. We were talking about a cleaning hack. We were talking about angels. I mean, it's all in there.
You're going to see the FTD brothers this weekend.
Yes. Oh. We're going to run with them in Wicklow. So if anyone wants to join us, please send me a DM. We have a little WhatsApp group set up with a plan. So if you are listening and you want to join us tomorrow in Wicklow, send me a DM and I'll send you on the details. And we can't wait to see the lads out there tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so happy. So pleased. Go on the Good Glow Run Club.